And now a conversation with a young man a lot of Silicon Valley investors are listening to. His company, Watsi, first made startup history when it became the first nonprofit funded by Paul Graham, the founder of Y Combinator. That's the Silicon Valley incubator that's launched more than 500 startups. Here's what Graham wrote about Watsi's website. After about 30 seconds of looking at the site, I realized I was looking at one of the more revolutionary things I'd seen the internet used for. I've never been so excited about anything we've funded. Well, Paul Graham is now on the Watsi board, and last month, Watsi became the first nonprofit to win a traditional round of money from many investors who don't expect their money back, because like the nonprofit Kiva, which funds microloans for the poor, Watsi funds medical treatment for the poor. Chase Adam is one of the co-founders of Watsi. He joins us from the studios of KQED in San Francisco. Chase, welcome to Here and Now.
Thanks for having me, Robin.
And put it in a nutshell, what is Watsi doing?
Yeah, so I think the simplest way to describe Watsi is that we are essentially Kickstarter for medical treatments. Hmm. We're essentially a website where we post photos and stories of individuals all around the world who need access to medical care but can't afford to pay for it. Anyone can go on our website, donate as little as $5, and 100% of that donation will directly fund medical care for a specific person somewhere in the world.
Okay, so a couple questions. First, how'd you get the idea?
I actually remember the day exactly. It was December 3rd, 2010. I was serving as a Peace Corps volunteer in Central America, and I was traveling on the back of a bus through rural Costa Rica, actually through a town called Watsi. And a woman got on the bus and started asking all of the local passengers for donations to pay for her son's medical treatment. Almost every person started giving this woman money, and I couldn't understand why these people trusted this woman. And it turns out that this woman actually had her son's medical record with her. It was in a red folder, and she was passing this red folder around the bus. The local passengers were reading information, looking at photos of her son, and they were essentially grilling her with questions. And she really seemed to earn their trust. And so I pitched in $2. I didn't want to be that one stingy gringo that didn't donate. The woman got off the bus, and I had an epiphany, and I thought, you know, we have websites like Kickstarter where we can fund movies. We have websites like Kiva where we can directly give a microloan to someone anywhere in the world. You know, why isn't there a website where we can essentially show this woman's red folder to the entire world?
Yeah.
A website where we can directly fund medical care for people that need it.
So you've named it Watsi after that town in which you...
I did. I named it Watsi after the town.
Yeah, and you had the epiphany there. So how does it work further? You have doctors who are involved. You have teams that go out and actually check because people, I'm sure, are wondering, well, how do you know who these people are?
Yeah, so the whole model, this model has been proven by organizations like Kiva. But we partner with nonprofit medical providers working in countries like Kenya, Cambodia, Haiti. These are existing nonprofits. We have one partner that's been around for more than 100 years. And the doctors at those organizations identify patients, send us the information. We fundraise for that patient online. And then the doctor at the partner organization provides care to that individual person.
Okay. So as you said, the contributors who are scrolling through Watsi can decide who they want to fund. There are some questions, ethical questions raised there. Does it become sort of a beauty pageant or a pageant of pathos even? You know, that people almost have to compete. I mean, it's one thing to have a dating service online, but this is a save-a-life service almost online. And do you worry that people might be looking for the most attractive or the saddest?
Yeah, so that's a really interesting question. And essentially, I have a two-part answer. The first is that sort of the basic premise at Watsi is that, you know, we want to establish connections between human beings. That's all we want to do. And so we want to establish a connection between a donor and a patient. That said, we don't actually think that the general public should be making medical decisions by essentially voting with their dollars. And so we mitigate that risk and we avoid that by guaranteeing funding for every patient that's accepted by Watsi, just like an insurance company. So that doctor can then provide care to that patient whenever is medically appropriate, and they're not necessarily waiting for funds to be raised on Watsi. Now, the flip side of that is that a lot of people seem really interested in, you know, what motivates donors on the website to give? Do they want to just fund children? Do they want to fund adults? Do they want to fund men? Do they want to fund women? And what we found is that it actually really varies. I'd say almost maybe the majority of people fund patients that they think other people won't want to fund. And so there's a lot of really interesting sort of psychological dynamics at play that we're observing, but yet, like I said before, don't actually impact who receives care and who doesn't.
Yeah. So tell us some of the recipients' stories.
I'll tell you one I haven't told anyone before. One of my favorites is this young girl, 12-year-old girl from far western Nepal named Priyanka. And Priyanka loved to study. Her favorite subject in school is Nepali, but she suffered an accident where she had third-degree burns on her hand. She didn't receive medical care, and those burns essentially resulted in a contracture, so a pretty severe hand deformity. She showed up at Nyaya Health, which is our medical partner, a hospital in Nepal, and doctors there sent us Priyanka's information. And I'll never forget the photo, Priyanka's photo. I'd never seen such an angry photo. She just looked, she looked miserable and sort of upset by her situation in the world. And I remember we posted it online, and 24 donors pitched in the $840 she needed for her hand surgery. And a few months later, we received an update from the doctors in Nepal. And I'll never forget the update photo. It's one of the happiest photos we've ever received at WOTC. Priyanka, like I said, this 12-year-old girl, she's wearing this red hood. She has just this radiant smile. She's just beaming. And the quote that she sent is, "I used to be really shy at school and I had no friends. And that was because I didn't have any fingers. But now I have all the fingers."
Well, and what I'm also hearing in addition to that terrific story is $800. You know, that it's not that much.
No, I mean, by U.S. standards, for example, it seems really cheap. I think the average cost of medical care on WOTC is about $700. We're doing life-saving heart surgeries for $1,200.
That's Chase Adam, co-founder of WOTC, which funds medical needs around the world. I'm looking at the website. There's Ravuth in Cambodia. He needs $300 to fix a broken arm. We're going to have more about this when we come back.
Funding for Here and Now comes from GEICO, offering a variety of insurance products, including auto, renters, boat, and motorcycle. More at geico.com or 1-800-947-AUTO.
It's Here and Now, and we're talking about one of the fastest-growing nonprofits in Silicon Valley, WOTC. The group puts up photos and profiles online of people around the world who need money for medical care. Anyone can go to the website and donate any amount toward that person's care. We're speaking with the company co-founder Chase Adam. Before the break, he was telling us about a 12-year-old named Priyanka who needed hand surgery, a lovely story. She received the money. But he also said that WOTC uses a pooling of donations, kind of like an insurance company. So, Chase, this raises questions for people who remember in the past charities that have asked for donations for children. You could become pen pals with the child you were saving or at least receive their photo. And certainly not in all cases, but in some cases, it turned out the same photograph had been sent around for years. People found out their money wasn't going to the person they thought it was going to. So in WOTC, if someone gives money to that 12-year-old, is it going to that 12-year-old?
We get this question a lot, and it's fascinating to me because, I mean, cash is fungible, right? So money is fungible. So I always ask people a question. I mean, if, for example, you know, someone comes into your office and they deliver a stack of office paper and then they invoice you and then you pay that invoice, I mean, are you truly paying for that paper? And my argument would be like, yes, you're paying for that paper because you paid the company the exact amount of money it costs to receive that paper. You're paying for a product or for a service. And in WOTC, it's exactly the same. I mean, we go to our medical partners. We work with them to price the cost of medical care. And then we pay for specific individuals' care. It's not a marketing gimmick.
I guess the question is, do you shut that person's case down once you see that enough money has come in? Or how do you...
Exactly.
Oh, okay.
So we do not overfund profiles.
Got it. Okay.
So on Kickstarter, for example, someone might ask for $10,000 to fund a movie, and you see quite often that they end up raising $1 million to fund that movie. With WOTC, it's different. If Priyanka's hand surgery costs $840, we only accept $840 for that specific medical treatment, and then that profile is essentially turned off.
And you're on to the next one. And
exactly.
Others have run into this trouble. Kiva.com, this is, you mentioned, the website that matches people looking for microfinance loans with people looking to lend money to them.
Yep.
And there, it turned out at one point that Kiva had to disclose that the money that lenders were putting in wasn't going directly to the people on the website.
I think the big difference between us and Kiva, so Kiva, they've been, you know, just a huge source of inspiration for us. On Kiva, the most efficient model would be, in a perfect world, to just send money to an individual, right? You wouldn't even want a middleman there. You just want to send your $1,000 loan to Sally in Cambodia, and that would be it. With WOTC, I think what's very different is that it's actually more efficient for us to work with hospitals. Because at the end of the day, you don't actually want the money to go to Priyanka, a 12-year-old girl in Nepal. You want the money to go to Nyaya Health, the hospital, in exchange for the medical care they're going to provide Priyanka. So it's actually much more efficient for us to work through intermediaries than to send funds to an individual directly.
Yeah. And you have Google Docs that can show people the funded patients, the doctors, very transparent. What do you think this means for charitable work?
One of our core values is to try and be one of the most transparent nonprofit organizations in the world. If there are absolutely no secrets behind our operations, our financials, anything, that will force us to A, operate in a more efficient manner, B, operate in a more honest, sort of an ethical manner, but C, what we're finding is that it actually enables us to outsource a lot of our work. We have our users going through our spreadsheets and telling us insights or telling us things we didn't even know.
For one thing, doctors and patients are screening for things that they wouldn't have in the past because there's now hope for treatment. So people lived with things before that they're now getting screened for.
Yeah, so there are three actually really big unintended benefits of the WOTC model. The first one actually is that WOTC patients actually receive better, higher quality medical care than non-WOTC patients at the exact same facility or organization because they have this feeling that essentially the world is watching. The second big unintended benefit, yeah, it's what you mentioned, that some of our doctors that we're working with are actually now, we're changing their behavior in the sense that they're beginning to diagnose conditions that they wouldn't previously diagnose. And so what I mean by that is an example is there are some doctors in Guatemala we work with. In Guatemala, probably only about 2 to 3% of children with heart disease are diagnosed because it doesn't make sense to make that investment because even if that child is diagnosed with heart disease, the doctor knows that there's no way that child's family is going to be able to afford heart surgery, right? So why even diagnose the child in the first place?
Right.
But with WOTC, what we're finding is that for our partners, they know that anything they diagnose in a patient, say a heart disease in a child in Guatemala, they know that WOTC exists and that WOTC is essentially like this social insurance program. So it actually makes sense for them to diagnose children because now for the first time, there's an opportunity for those children to receive medical care.
And what about fraud? How do you know? I mean, I suppose you have it built in that doctors are a part of the program, but a doctor and a patient could be, you know, perpetrating fraud. What have you learned?
I think with all nonprofits, fraud and your intentions are usually the big sort of elephant in the room. When someone comes to our website, you know, we have to convince them to trust us. And so a big part of that is what I talked about before, it's being transparent. The second part of that is working with really quality medical organizations. The third part is really about aligning incentives. So how can we actually make fraud really difficult? The first is that the people that send us information aren't the same people that get money. The second thing is that most of the organizations and doctors we work with have reputations that are much more valuable than, say, stealing $1,000 from WOTC. And the third way that it's actually a new model we're implementing now is that we're starting to do random audits.
What's in it for you? Because you said 100% of the monies donated go to the medical service. I'm assuming that you pay for the website, and do you pay for the entire organization with advertising? I mean, how do you pay for yourselves?
So at the start, I mean, the cost of starting an organization now is the lowest it's ever been in history. So you essentially have Moore's Law that says every 2 years, sort of the rate of technological innovation doubles. And at the same time, technology itself is becoming much cheaper. So with WOTC, we launched WOTC on a budget of about $3,000. That was all it took. The vast majority of that $3,000, $2,200, went to the U.S. government and the state of California for our incorporation as a nonprofit and our application to be a 501c3. Pretty much all the technology we used was free, with the exception of payment processing. We've since started scaling. We have to pay for salaries. And our goal is to be a 100% financially self-sustainable organization.
So salaries and things like that right now come from investors?
That's correct. So donors. Yeah. So WOTC is a nonprofit. There's no equity, but we have, you know, been the fortunate beneficiaries of some grants and some donations from mostly technology entrepreneurs and investors in Silicon Valley.
Is there a point where you will not want to scale up anymore because you won't be able to handle it? Or
so WOTC is highly scalable, but at the same time, the problem we're trying to solve is enormous. There are 1 billion people, essentially a sixth of the planet, cannot access basic medical care. And so until we're helping to provide medical care to that 1 billion people, I think, you know, we have a pretty big task ahead of us.
Well, that is WOTC founder Chase Adam. We'll link you to his website at hereandnow.org. Chase, thanks so much.
Thank you, Robin.
And apparently some of you are asking. It's WATSI. I'm on the website. There's a little boy in Ethiopia who needs just $1,200 for a life-saving procedure. We're also hearing from listeners about local efforts. Marion Leary writes about an organization in Philadelphia. It's called Sink or Swim Philadelphia, SOS. She writes it also uses medical crowdfunding to help raise money for uninsured or underinsured Americans. Every month they focus on a new person struggling to pay bills, raise as much money as they can. The money in almost all cases goes to the treatment facility or the billing agency. We'll link you to that also at hereandnow.org. But meanwhile, do you also know of crowdfunding sources for medical needs? And what do you think about this? In Philadelphia, as in Watsi, as we understand, your picture is posted. Your thoughts on that?
Funding for Here and Now comes from Brilliant Earth, committed to environmental and social responsibility with conflict-free diamond engagement rings, wedding rings, and other fine jewelry. Online at brilliantearth.com. And Olin College of Engineering, working to revolutionize engineering education at olin.edu.